Welcome to the Kerr's High Cat Attack podcast. This is the grand final edition. Grand final edition. Oh, that's a fantastic phrase. Ben Castanelli with you. I'm joined by K-Rock's number one man, Tom King.
Hello, Benny.
Kingy, it's got... I'm a bit nervous.
This is the quickest turnaround we've ever done a podcast off a game.
Less than, 14 hours ago, the Cats were just spanking the Lions red roar up there at the Gabba. But I'm nervous, Kingy.
Why are you nervous?
Because I hate Richmond.
Do you?
So
why do you hate Richmond?
I just don't. Well, the stories of 2017 and that in that qualifying final.
Yes.
And some of the things that went on in the stands and the stories I've heard since were just, it was disgraceful, some of the behaviour of the Richmond fans. So,
but the grand final is not won in the stands.
No, it's not. But so I don't like Richmond.
Okay, that's okay.
And now they've turned into a powerhouse, I dislike them even more. So if we've been playing Brisbane this week, I probably could stomach losing. Yeah, you wouldn't want to lose and you'd be disappointed, but you think, well, okay, look.
Port Adelaide would be the ideal.
Yeah, Port Adelaide Kenny. I could have... got my head around it.
Yep.
But just, I had a nightmare last night.
Did you?
3:03 I rang, and that wasn't a gun.
You woke up at 3:03.
I woke up at 3:03. And I had visions of the tattoo Dustin Martin just going berserk, and so I'm nervous. Cats.
Let's focus on the positives.
What's going to happen? No, there's plenty of positives. Don't worry about that. But it's just Richmond.
Yeah.
We're playing Richmond.
Yeah, that's okay.
Jesus Christ, no. Don't like Richmond. Anyway, we've got to focus on the positives, and there's heaps. So, positives for the Cats.
Oh, the
confidence-boosting win again.
The second tier stood up.
They did.
You did call for that pre-game, and the likes of Collar Jasny.
Rowan. Stanley.
Myers. Although he had a couple of...
I had a couple of little fumbles, but that's okay. He's still...
Jack Henry.
He was very good.
That was probably the best game of Jack Henry's career.
Yeah, Buse played well. I mean, those guys have got some experience now, so it's not like they're inexperienced.
Sam Simpson.
Well, he's inexperienced, but he's been a bit of a revelation. We've pulled the right rein in the finals, Kingy.
Yeah.
Chris Scott has pulled the right rein in the finals.
But Mark Blitzarves has stayed on a wing, Benny.
It has, and it's worked. There's one matchup that I'm a little Bruce Nankervis about.
T. Lynch.
No, not T. Lynch, because Harry Taylor will go to Tom Lynch. Now, I'm not saying that is the best matchup, but that one, you can lock that one in. That'll happen.
Collar Jasny to Riewoldt.
Look, I would be calling, please, please, please put Jake Collar Jasny on Jack Riewoldt. Don't put Henderson on him.
So he's gone from Charlie Cameron.
Henderson's in good form, mind you, so I'm not...
But Henderson can play that Grimes role that Grimes will try and play at the other end.
Yes, and he you don't want him... You want to shut down Jack Riewoldt. Mm. If Jake Collar-Jasny goes to him, just stick to him like, you know what, onto a blanket. It doesn't matter if Jake Collar-Jasny doesn't touch the ball, as long as Jack Riewoldt's not influencing the game. When they played last time, he kicked 4, and he pulled Lachie Henderson's pants down. It's probably the worst game Lachie Henderson's played since he's come back into the side.
It's a great story, Lachie Henderson.
It is, and he's in really good form, and he's confident, and he's making good decisions. So allow him, I just hate to see him have to play a really key defensive role rather than a zone off, like you say. I reckon that's his go. So let's get Collar Jasny to Riewoldt, Taylor to Lynch. Okay. If things go pear-shaped,
yep.
Blitzarves has to probably go back if Lynch was to really be getting on top. Let's hope that's not happening.
Geelong have that ability.
Well, I do, and that would upset what they're doing up the ground, obviously, but it may be the case. Last year, Geelong didn't make the change, and Lynch kicked 5, obviously. I just wonder whether they would make the change because of how it would upset up the ground, whether they just have to go with that matchup regardless.
The Stanley-Blitzarves combination has worked. Do they want to mess with that, especially against Nankervis?
I'll try and work him over. How good was Nankervis last week? He turned into Gary Dempsey... Polly Farmer, Barry Round,
Simon Madden.
Yeah, all in the one in the last quarter. He was unbelievable.
He won that game for
Yeah, he was unbelievable.
He won that game. But the athleticism of Stanley and Blitzarves against the more lumbering Nankervis is an area where I think Chris Scott will go, I reckon we can get on top here.
Well, hopefully.
Because Lysett and Laddams aren't your, you know, Laddams is athletic, but he's not spending as much time as Lysett in the ruck. Port Adelaide with Lysett don't have the ability to play him anywhere other than in the ruck, whereas Geelong can at least send Stanley forward when Blitzarves is having a run on the ball.
He started last two games, he started the game really well, Stanley. He's been really good in the first quarter.
Intent.
Yeah, he's been really good. I agree. There are areas. But it's what I like is that the Cats are now, some of those second-tier players now have got some confidence. Gary Rowan in particular, who, let's say, he would have been under pressure coming into the Collingwood final because he was horrendous in the first final, and his previous finals to that over the last 3 or 4 years haven't been great. His two efforts have been really, really good. He did get – Payne was actually on top of him early.
Payne was fantastic. Yeah, he was, I'll tell you what, Brisbane have found one there. He only – late inclusion told about an hour before the game son, you're playing. Darcy Gardner hasn't come up. And in the end, we thought, well, gee, that might be an area the Cats could get on top. And they didn't. He wasn't exploited at all, Payne. I'll give credit where it's due.
No, he was good. He was good. But Rowan did have an influence after a quietish sort of start. It's the old question of Dangerfield forward, Dangerfield in the midfield against Richmond. Or how do you...
I think they've got to play him forward. Because I don't think they're going to change the lineup. People will say, gee, do we need to bring in that second tall forward with Richmond's defence? But I suspect that Chris Scott will back in the 22 that's done it for the past four.
Yeah, you're not going to change that mix. No.
And Dangerfield will play majority forward because I think what he'll look at, he'll go, Dusty will do the same for Richmond. They'll have bursts in the middle at times, but between the two of them, who are going to be the two talisman on the ground, they will spend it at opposite ends.
So if my matchup of Rewalt, Colajasny to Rewalt happens, then who plays on Dustin Martin if he's playing up forward? Henry.
Yeah, it probably is.
He's athletically
capable.
Yeah, his strength-wise is pretty good. Yep. He's got a developed body now.
Trying to match up on Dusty, it's not about...
You've got to beat him in the air.
And it's not about the player on Dusty. It's about the ball coming in. If the ball's good coming in...
You're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
But same with probably Dangerfield and Hawkins.
Correct. So the matchup's not a... you've got to get it right. You're not sending Henderson to him.
No.
Henry's
probably athletically... Colajasny's quite good in a straight line. He's not as agile.
Henry's lateral.
Henry's a bit more agile. Yep. So that gives you the ability that... And he probably can... He's got the size to match him in the air. Ball hits the ground, hopefully. I mean, look, Dustin Martin's a great player, so he's probably going to beat you every now and then, but...
You don't win two Norm Smith medals.
No. So Henry probably has a better skill set. Mm. And I reckon that Colajasny has a better skill set for Rewalt because Rewalt is... He's actually quite agile at ground level, but he's pretty much a straight at the ball sort of player.
Yep.
And that suits Colajasny. Colajasny is probably actually as tall, if not a centimetre tall, than Rewalt.
Mm.
Those matchups are pivotal. Castagna. The other thing too, Kingy, for mine...
O'Connor can go to Castagna.
Yeah, O'Connor to Castagna. And then who else does that leave up forward for the Tigers? That would leave... you're looking at Lynch, Rewalt, Castagna.
You'll get Bolton come through there at times.
Yeah, well, he's been in good form too.
But he'll probably spend, depending on Martin's forward time, Bolton probably spends more in the midfield with Edwards and Cochin.
Yep.
Edwards was not at his best on Friday night.
No, he's missed a bit of footy, but he's a very good player.
Yep.
The one area I reckon the Cats are going to have to do some work and some homework on is limiting the ability of Hooley, Short, and Baker.
Yep.
Off heart. Baker, he's really developed into a good player. Three rebounding defenders that set Richmond up. Geelong have to find a way to nullify.
Even Broad is one that can
rebound. Well, he's a bit more dour.
But he can rebound the footy.
A little bit, but he's more of your sort of Jake Colajasny at the other end.
Yep.
He's more of your lock on.
Yep.
Asprey's a lock on.
Yep. Although Asprey's been playing as that.
In the ruck.
So Bolter to Hawkins?
Well, you would have thought.
Who goes to
Grimes? Grimes probably, which is, that's an interesting one. So Geelong, Grimes might go to Rowan.
Right. And then try and sag off Rowan.
Probably.
Although that he'll look at what Rowan's done the last 2 weeks and go, that's not easy.
No. And Brisbane tried to do that last night with Daniel Rich on Gary Ablett.
Yep.
I reckon they thought Gaz doesn't defend.
Does Baker go to Ablett?
Well, I don't. But if that's the case, you need to be really wary that Baker's not running off Gary Ablett.
Or Hooley will try and go to Ablett.
I'd be sending. Look, I'd send somebody Lotwell in terms of sending. I'd be looking at Dalhouse to go to somebody like.
And play a defensive role?
Slightly. Just be really aware that you. Because those three guys. I mean, I know Hooley's been around for a long time. But Short and Baker.
Short's coming up to 100 games,
Ben. Yeah, he's good. But Baker's jumped up out of the ground. And they both get off the back half and run 15, run through the middle. You know, they'll get the handball receive. And they create, it puts the defence at sixes and sevens because they are running that 10-15, kicking at 50.
Yep.
So they've got to be really, really mindful of that. Brisbane don't have those sorts of players. That was probably an area where Brisbane, I think, will look back on this year and think that they need to find. They do have Rich, but other than Rich, they don't really have running defenders. Birchall's not that player anymore.
That was what Witherden was supposed to
be. Yeah, it's interesting that he's not playing. So it's talk that he might be on the move.
Yep.
So, yeah, it is weird. I think that that's an area that they need to improve. And I said going into the Collingwood game, it was an area Geelong needed to improve. And they don't. Geelong don't have Hooley, Short and Baker.
No.
They don't have those three types.
But we have seen some run provided.
Well, because they're playing with some urgency. Yeah. They've thought, let's play on.
Yep.
Not at all costs, but let's play on. Even the chipping around game, it's the ball's in motion. It's not kick off the mark, kick off the mark. It's kick, keep the ball moving.
Yep.
So that's another critical. I just hope that they, even if there was a couple of mistakes early, keep going, because you're not going to beat Richmond if you go into that stagnant, chip it around, take 100 marks, and the ball goes absolutely nowhere.
We thought he might have been staggering to the finish line, but Gary Ablett gave us for 15 to 20 minutes last night a reminder of.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Class is permanent.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether the body's not as quick as it used to be, but the mind's still sharp.
Yep.
And the reflexes are still actually there as well.
Well, I said in the pregame, Kingy, that, you know, gone are the days that you're going to get Gaz going in and crashing and bashing in the midfield and winning a whole heap of ball. That's over. If you find a way to get him in space, that's where he'll do his damage. And he got the ball in space last night. And he's a finisher. He makes good decisions. He's skillful. The one thing that will be Richmond, it'll be a dogfight this game.
Oh.
So if Gaz.
The only thing is, I think there's only one team who can blow it out.
Richmond.
Yeah. Geelong can't blow it out.
No, I don't think.
If Geelong are to win it, it is contest.
Well, I don't think Geelong aren't going to get blown out. You'd hate to see that. I think they're playing too well for that.
No, well, you'd hope not. But I think, but if there was to be a margin in the game, I think only Richmond's a team that can.
Yeah,
put
I do agree with that. I just think Geelong at the moment are going too well to get blown out, and the start will be pivotal. Richmond. That was a great game the other night against Port Adelaide. Are Richmond going as well as they were?
No.
I don't reckon they are.
Not as well as round 17.
No, I don't think they are. No. They're going well.
Well, they've been beaten. They got St Kilda, who were lacking some polish.
And St Kilda actually had periods of that game where they dominated.
They're inaccurate.
Yeah.
And they were missing Ryder, Carlisle.
And there's one other who came out.
Yeah, they made three changes to that side. So, you know, that becomes. Oh, they had the suspension of Long.
Yep.
So then you got those three changes. So, you know, Richmond probably fell into the, not the easiest semi-final, but the one where I think that was the result everybody that week goes, well, Richmond are going to beat St Kilda now.
Yeah.
Whereas Geelong and Collingwood, people are still, geez, don't know about the Cats here. And you know, in the end, we know they won by 11 goals, and that's now by the bye. But, yeah, Rich, and then Friday night could have gone either way. You know, Port Adelaide, they probably too, like the Saints, like just a bit of polish at the right time. You know, Xavier Dersma dropping that chess mark. And everybody does it. Grind Myers did it last night. So Richmond will look at some moments and go, gee, you know, they fell our way.
Yep.
The Cats have, they've won by combined 108 points.
Yeah, they're
in the last two finals.
Yeah.
So if you are going on, if you're looking at form line right now, the last fortnight Geelong have been the more convincing side. Richmond haven't been as convincing. Yes, they had. I think the margin was 5 goals in the end against St Kilda. So, and then in the end, it's a goal. And one of the prelims is always a cracker.
Yeah.
History tells us that one of those games is decided by 10 points or less in recent years. And then you get the one that's sometimes a, you know, cue in the rack for a team halfway through.
Which
the
was last night, but nobody would have predicted that.
No. Our friend James from Sydney.
Yeah, he had Cats 1-39 and the goal from Gary Rowan from the Ranger. Just put him out of his punt, but he was as happy as Larry. So, it's massive, really, isn't it?
Oh, it's huge. Like, it deserves the MCG.
Richmond a favourite. The bookies have installed Richmond as favourite, $1.80, $2.10, I think.
Yeah, so that's bait. But that will be almost $1.90 each or two.
Oh, I think I'd be surprised if the money doesn't come for Richmond. I think the sentiment, you know, not Geelong fans,
so
obviously.
What are you looking at, $1.60, $2.30?
No, they won't get $1.60. That'd be a plunge in the century. They might get into $1.75. Okay. Cats out to $2.15.
$2.20.
Something like that. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the market. I don't know. It has absolutely no bearing on the game, but it'll be interesting to see which way the punters feel the game will go. It's been a great effort by Geelong, and I've been not critical. They've had a good year, so I haven't been too critical. They were winning a lot of games. That first final, didn't play anywhere near their best.
Nice.
Played conservative footy.
Yep.
And lost. And then maybe that was the game that they needed to have, Kingy. Maybe that was the final that they needed to have where they got close, played okay, but it was like, we need to move the ball quicker.
Yep.
We have to move the ball quicker to put the defence on the back foot and create opportunities for our forwards.
And it ended a month of footy that hadn't been great.
Yes.
You know, they lost to Richmond.
Yep.
They just snuck home against the Swans. They had the week off. They lose to Port. Okay. Everybody in this, especially in a season like this, like, it's unbelievable that two teams who haven't slept in their own beds for 15 weeks are playing in a grand final. That's incredible.
Yeah, how long? What's your longest period of not sleeping in your own bed?
When did Marianne kick you out?
I had it back in the day. There was a period there I wasn't in my own fada.
I don't need to know why either.
It's quite enjoyable.
So right now I'm very bullish about the Cats. Yeah, and this is from a bloke, and I'm happy to admit it. This time a fortnight ago.
What do you mean when you say bullish? Like, how bullish? You're confident Geelong will win?
I'm confident Geelong can win. Well, no, I'm confident Geelong will win on Saturday night.
You think they'll beat the Tigers?
Yep.
Okay. I think they can.
Look, I'm happy to be proven wrong because the best team will win on Saturday night. But right now, I think the best team is Geelong.
Well, Matthew Scarlett said that last night on K-Rock Footy. We interviewed him pre-game. And he said, we think we're the best team in the comp. Yep. Which, you know, that's a little unusual from somebody within the club to say, and I'm not having a go in. That's fantastic.
Yep.
But we tend to jump on those things. Oh, you can't say that. But he said we feel like we are the best team in the competition.
Yep.
And they've obviously charged the players with that we are the best team. There's belief. And it took that Port Adelaide game where just move the ball. The thing about Richmond is they probably just need to be a little careful when they do move the footy. It can't be play on at all costs. There was a little bit of play on at all costs against Collingwood, and that worked out really, really well because Collingwood were way off.
Yep.
They were on the back foot, and the further Geelong got in front, the further on the back foot Collingwood got. Yep. So it worked for them. Last night, it was good that the play on... There wasn't a sort of passage of play where you thought, geez, they played on absolutely recklessly, and it's cost them. I just think early on, the excitement of the grand final, the adrenaline's rushing. You're playing a very good team that is very, very seasoned.
Yes.
They are more seasoned than Geelong, even though Geelong are an older team.
So Richmond will return and will have 21. If they don't go in unchanged, the only...
Which they will, you would have thought.
Yeah, the only premiership player or non-premiership player is Noah Bolter. They will return 20 of last year's premiership side. I think the only player that didn't play last year was Jack Graham.
Yep.
So the only two that are out from last year are Caddy and Soldo. Caddy's the only potential. Marlon Pickett?
He'll play. He'll play. He was a little fumbly, but he'll play. I'd be staggered. You won't know this probably, or you might, because you know a lot of stuff. But when was the last time two grand final teams went in completely unchanged? I don't think it would have happened in recent times.
Oh, it has.
Not that often. Yeah. Unchanged, both teams.
Yeah, yeah.
From the prelims, usually somebody gets injured.
No,
or,
usually.
Or there's a suspension or somebody's coming back in or.
Yeah, I know that there was, I reckon Geelong Collingwood 2011, both teams went in.
But what I'm saying is it's not a usual occurrence.
It's not far away.
No, I'm not saying there's eight changes, but it's very unusual that you would get both teams with zero changes. And I'd be staggered if either team changed their mix. Sure. Geelong will talk about, no doubt the match committee will talk about Radigalia. Yeah, now, he's just not going to play, but they will talk about it given that they looked, Richmond pulled them apart 5 or 6 weeks ago with no second option. Gary Rowan, was he playing that night? He was.
Yep.
Yeah, he had a howler.
They brought Jarvis in as a late inclusion.
It's
Richmond.
Rowan was out. Yeah, so Rowan didn't play that night.
Yeah, he had the glute issue.
Yeah, the whole glute issue. Yeah, so that was Hawkins only. Richmond pulled it apart. Geelong also played really slow footy, kicked one goal to three-quarter time.
They found themselves being... They were retreating all night, Geelong. They would mark it at half-back, and then they would have to go back inside.
Well, they'd mark on the wing, and the ball ended up in their own defensive 50.
And then they'd try and open up the other side, and Richmond were just so
because
good.
it was kick, get off the mark, kick, get off the mark.
It wasn't kick, get it moving.
Yeah.
They have to, and this might sound ridiculous. That was Metricon. The Cats are 5-0 at the Gabba this year.
Yeah, have Richmond played a lot of the Gabba?
2-1.
So they lost to Brisbane.
Beat the Swans.
Yep.
Couldn't tell you off the top of my head who the other win was.
So they haven't been there a whole lot.
No.
So it's Geelong's home ground.
Basically, yes. Yeah. The world is riding itself.
So Geelong are moving to the Gabba.
And it's short too. Like that goal that Ablett kicked last night, the burst out of the middle. That happened in 7 seconds.
Yeah.
Win the tap, quick handball, bang, away goes Gaz.
Tell you who is playing well too, Kingy. Mitch Duncan.
I was going to say Hunky Dunky.
Yeah, he's been very, very good. Guthrie and Menegola.
Domsey's mate.
Yeah, Guthrie, old Hunky Dunky. He's been probably buoyed by things he's seen outside his little window there, I think. But the Menegola and Guthrie have stood up again. They're really pivotal. Yep. Those two guys playing well in the midfield allows Dangerfield to play more forward.
Yep.
If they're struggling and Geelong's midfield's getting beaten, they've got to put Dangerfield on the ball. So that is absolutely crucial. The skipper, I reckon the skipper might be cherry ripe. I know he's got the finger problem.
Gee, he was up and about on K-Rock last
night. He was quite emotional about it, really.
If you missed that interview, check it out, krockfootball.com.au too.
Yeah, you could sense that he was emotional. He wasn't in tears or anything, but you could sense the magnitude of making the grand final in terms of his footy career and where he's at his footy career.
Now, Benny, don't use all your gold today because we are going to do a second podcast for week later in the week. And that's where I think we might touch on Ablett, Taylor, Henderson, Tui, the older guys, and the guys that haven't won one, Dangerfield. So we'll do that a little bit later. Do you want to answer some questions? We've already had some questions fired through Twitter and also from our good friends at Big Footy as well.
Ooh, Big Footy.
Yeah, call to daddy. I am genuinely stoked. I can't believe we've given ourselves a chance at another flag. Question, once the game got started, to see Charlie Cameron kick two goals early and to have DiCollo start on him, what were your thoughts? Well, we wanted the change.
We did.
We wanted beauty.
We did. We wanted the change, and he stuck with Collar Jasny. And I mean, every team says it, and we were talking about it pre-game last night, that if you've got pressure on in the midfield, it makes your defence so much better.
Yep.
Geelong's defence is nearly the best in the competition if there is pressure on the midfield, because you've got some really good ball readers with the ball in flight in terms of Taylor and Henderson, but you've also got tallish guys in Stewart, O'Connor, Henry's quite tall, and Collar Jasny's quite tall. So you've got a tallish defence. So if there's pressure on, they're very good in the air. And that's that will be the key against Richmond, because if they get some clear ball, Lynch and Riewoldt and these guys are going to eat them alive. But at the same time, Tommy Hawkins, hopefully, if he can get some clear ball, will be able to do exactly the same. Although Bolter, jeez, there's a couple of passages of play in that game on Friday night, Richmond-Port, where Richmond actually had... Port Adelaide actually got free play, which didn't happen a whole lot. It was so tight and tough, wet. But they had a couple of passages where the ball was actually moved into space. They had a free go inside forward 50 to Dixon. Bolter was, at one stage, Bolter actually was so close to Dixon that he reached around him on the lead, punched the ball, and then ran past him and collected it on the ground. So he is some sort of player, that Bolter.
Yeah. And to think that if David Asprey hadn't got hurt, Noah Bolter would be somebody.
I'd be much happier if it was Asprey against Hawkins, because I don't think Asprey has the strength one-on-one. Bolter does. Yeah. He's only 20. But he's inexperienced, so you've got to find some situations for Hawk to make him nervous.
But when he's got 21 teammates who have done it before,
it helps.
That helps. He also said, called a daddy, I hope it's no change, but with Sav's overhead marking, do you think he's a massive chance to come in?
Well, look, I think they'll talk about it, but you just couldn't change that mix. I mean, we might be saying after the game, geez, I wish we had Radigalia in there to offer that second option, but you just couldn't change that team on given what it's put out for the last 2 weeks. Mm. When was the last time Geelong had no changes 2 weeks in a row?
Yeah, it's probably going back to a final series a decade ago.
Well, that would be a long time ago.
Yeah. And it'll be 3 weeks in a row that they'll make no change. No, 2 weeks.
Yeah, it'll be two. Yeah, sorry, three games.
Yeah, 3 games. Yeah. 3 games the same 22. Daz Broncos.
Oh, Daz, he's in Miami, Daz. He'll have his pants off.
I'm guessing my 13-year recurring prelim final omen was a good one. 94-07-20 with the Ablets, that is. The bottom six is touted as the difference makers in the finals, as often the elite superstars' efforts cancel each other out, but the bottom six who stand up the most can make the difference.
Yeah, and that's never been truer than with the Cats. When they're bottom sort of six, well, not bottom, those second and third tier players, when they're providing something, Geelong are really, really difficult to beat. The last 2 weeks they've provided something, and that's been represented on the scoreboard. Geelong have been really hard to beat.
He says Sam Simpson's out of the bottom six after his last couple
but
of games.
Well, he's been very, very good, hasn't he? He's been a bit of a wild card for the Cats. Such a clean ball handler. He's creative. He seems to have a nice sense of when to move the ball quickly. And he's got really clean hands. That's what I like. He doesn't fumble. He's a one-touch player. It gives him that bit of extra time to sum up the situation when he's just grabbing that ball with the one mitt. But, for mine, it's Stanley, Myers,
Rowan.
I think those three
barometers.
A little bit, yeah. It's particularly Stanley. Can he produce one more week of good footy?
Turbo Cat, guys, has the hub actually given Geelong a chance to bond in a way it might not have happened if they'd stayed in a normal mode? All the players on the boundary last night at the end of the game looked such a great sight and a melded group. Yeah, because, and we've spoken about this, and yes, we have not been great Chris Scott fans over the journey, but Chris Scott's body language, the way he spoke to the media when all this was being floated, Chris Scott just went, you tell us where we got to be and we'll be there.
Yeah, and he's...
And it filtered down.
Well, we heard Charles Selwood say that in the interview last night, that I asked him about the hub and the environment that Geelong seemed to have embraced. And, of course, winning helps if you're winning.
Yeah.
But he said that it was Chris Scott that started that. And I've said it quite a few times this year, Kingy, haven't I, that the hub has probably helped the Cats in that it has forced relationships to bond and to develop that otherwise wouldn't have been there if you're in the normal environment at GMHBA at home.
Yep.
So those conversations that you wouldn't have, and you know...
All of a sudden, player 38 on the list feels valued because somebody that might not necessarily said, hey, how you going? Hey, and... You know, how are you going with this? Is there anything we can do to make your life easier in the hub? Look, you're not going to play some senior footy this year, unfortunately, but hey, keep working hard on the track, keep providing something. All of a sudden, he walks away with a spring in his step because he goes, oh, gee, somebody of note in the club's just spoken to me.
Yeah, and that doesn't always happen. I know people will think that surely that happens just normally. Well, it you know, from what we've heard, it hasn't always happened at Geelong.
And the contact time at the club meant that sometimes it hasn't happened. The players, yes, they're full-time footballers, but they're not 9 to 5 at the club every day.
No.
You know, I think it was Luke Dalhouse said when he got to the Cats, he couldn't believe how much contact time they were having, and it was minimal compared to what
he was. Patrick Dangerfield was the same when he came from Adelaide.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe how little time he had to spend at the club.
Yeah. And, you know, and so maybe those, as you call them, water cooler conversations don't happen. Because the players, are, you know, they train, they go, they've got lives. You've got, you know, players with kids and wives and other interests. all of a sudden, the wives and the girlfriends weren't there for a period of time.
Yeah.
The other interests are gone. You know? Yeah, look, some have gone, been able to go surfing, some have been able to play golf. But you can't do that every day.
No.
So all of a sudden, they're spending time hitting a table tennis ball as a group of 15. And, you know, maybe, and this is only a hypothetical, Brian Myers might not have had a lot to do with Lockie Henderson. But all of a sudden, they're standing next to each other and going, hey, how are you enjoying this? Oh, gee, you know, gee, the buffet food's been good. Or, gee, I've got to stay off the choc chip cookies or something like that. And all of a sudden, Brian Myers goes, well, the bloke that's played 160 games is having a chat to me, and he walks away feeling better with himself.
Yeah, and it's I think it probably comes from the top. But the interesting thing about that, Kingy, is that I agree, and we're only speculating. We don't know that to be true, but we're only pontificating. Did you like that one?
Yeah.
Add that to ointment, pontification.
Spasm.
And spasm.
Somebody wanted ointment in this.
Yes, ointment. We have used ointment. I applied some ointment to a region last night when I got home. But we're only pontificating. We don't know that to be true, but we're speculating that that potentially has happened. I wonder what happens going forward. I know we don't want to look too far because we've got the grand final this week. I wonder how, because if Geelong have made the grand final on the back of a much better relationship within the group, and that starts with the senior coach down, and that clearly maybe hasn't been there.
Well, maybe. Then.
How do they fashion that? That might be a podcast that we can do after, but if we could, it'd be great to be able to talk to someone and say, yeah, look, that has happened. The relationships have been fantastic. Everybody's bonded. The senior coach's relationship with the players has gone gangbusters, infinitely better than it has been in the previous years. How do the Cats then manufacture that? Because clearly that becomes, clearly that is the little intangible that elevates the team. So how do they continue to develop that next year?
All right. Just off the Twitter, KFC Twitter, at Carrick Football. We're here for Kerr's Hire too. Jared will be right. Jared's a fan of the podcast.
He'll be...
And when he finds out that he's getting two podcasts,
he'll be
week,
beside himself, Joe. Be.
Simon Quinn, you blokes do the podcast or the granny call with a small audience. I'll bring the beers and assorted creams.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. The assorted creams.
What if we... What
you step up from the arrow roots.
What if we could have a team of people, we can't because of restrictions, but in the K-Rock hub, just providing just, you know, a little bit of atmos.
It'd be if the Cats were to get the chockies, it could go a little bit pear-shaped.
Daniel Burke, interested to know how you guys are watching the game. We'll be watching it from the K-Rock hub. Dalhouse was good early but faded in the second half. Defensive job, or was he the only one risk of being dropped? No, he won't be dropped.
No, he won't be dropped. He hasn't been great, though. Yeah, he
had the foot issue mid-season.
Yeah, it's hard to tell often from the TV whether somebody does have a defensive role, like a permanent defensive role. Offensively, he has been quiet. He certainly won't go out of the team. But you'd like to see him pick it up and play a good game on Saturday night, because I think he's another player that you would classify in that sort of second tier that can jump up and kick you a goal or lay a tackle. Or he's one I'd like to see go to Baker. Just play defensive on Baker. And I'm not, when I say it's very difficult as a forward to play as a defender, but just be really aware. You cannot, those three players I mentioned, Short, Hooley, Baker, you cannot allow them to sweep off half back and get 20 touches each, because I reckon that Geelong will not win if that is the case.
Okay. Paul Marinelli, regular tweeter to K-Rock Football and now joining us on the Cat Attack podcast. Is it set in concrete that Geelong will now play a ruckman in every final for the next 50 years?
Well, I would have thought so.
Mick, will Benny call next week's game in his birthday suit?
Well, probably not. That could be... Could be some.
It's OHS.
Well, what does that mean? I was going to say, I could.
Occupational health and safety, Benny. You can't do that, unfortunately.
Right. I was going to think. And there is another meeting of OHS, but I can't say it on the radio.
What has been seen can't be unseen either, Benny. Can Rhys Stanley reach the Pill Ottens level with a big game next week from Mick Howley?
Well, that'd be good. Let's hope he channels the former number six.
Mrs. Losnoz, there's only one big pill, but Rhys is much improved. Surely no changes. Question, has there ever been two Irish natives in the grand final? Surely those boys bring us some luck. I can only think of White and Steins in 88, but White was Scottish-born but identified, I believe, as Irish, along with Jimmy Steins. Outside of that, I can't think.
I don't think there'd be too many.
No.
So are you doing something with Mark O'Connor this week?
I am, actually, for K-Rock Football, for the website. Yeah, looking forward to having a chat with Merrick.
Like, it'd be good. It'd be fantastic to talk to him. I mean, the big names will obviously get there, do their media this week, but they're not going to say anything that is that you don't probably already know. Yep. Whereas Mark O'Connor will have a story to tell from, you know, what he reached the 50 games.
50 games last night?
Yeah, so played his 50th game and he's into a grand final.
Part of the leadership group this year?
Yeah, he's really elevating himself up and he's had a pretty strong year. Had a couple of sort of shaky games, but overall has been pretty good.
I think played every game.
Yeah, I think he would have. He wouldn't be far off.
I think Seven Cats have played every game this year.
Yeah.
Geelong have managed their list very, very well.
Yeah, they have. And that was, even Joel Selwood probably held him out when he could have played.
Yep.
Just to ensure that he was fresh.
So the Cats will be four changes to the team if they go in as selected last night to the team. But Richmond will look a little bit different from that round 17 game too.
Yeah, they'll have Edwards in.
Yep. Asprey. I think there was one other. I think there's four or five. Broad didn't play in that game. Broad found himself on the fringe.
He was out of that. He wasn't injured. He was just dropped.
Yeah, he found himself back into the side.
I mean, the strength of Richmond is Josh Caddy, who, what, he would have finished top eight in their best and fairest in 2017?
Yep.
In their premiership year? Yeah, he can't get a game. Yeah.
See, Markov was playing some okay footy. He played in that game against the Cats. Yep. I think Broad's come back for Markov.
Yeah, different sort of players. Markov's more of a rebounder, yep. But with Baker, Short and Hooley, they got the rebounders covered.
Yep, correct.
So he's one that Brisbane should look at.
Did Hooley play against the Cats?
I think he might have been his first game back. Yeah. He was very quiet.
Yeah.
So, it's there's plenty of permutations and computations. Yes.
So Benny, we're going to do a second podcast later.
The old second podcast, is that like the second gun with the JFK?
What?
Well, there was always this conspiracy theory that there was the second gunman.
Okay.
Off what who wasn't on the grassy knoll.
No, with Lee Harvey Oswald. The second podcast we'll look at, obviously, the greats, Gary retiring, we'll pay tribute to him. We'll also probably pose the question, Benny, I want you to think about this. If Geelong were to lose, is 2020 still a success? Don't answer it now. Think about it for the next 4 or 5 days.
I don't need to.
We'll come back later in the week and discuss it.
Okay,
and
look forward to it.
And the Cats going forward as well. We'll also do a post-grand final show and look ahead to the best and fairest. Kaji Greaves Medal will be a virtual event, Benny, on October 29 on a Thursday night. So looking forward to that as well.
More wrap-ups in the obstetrics ward.
Yeah. have a good week, Benny.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Kingy.
Got a winner from the wild camp for us?
Not this week that I know of, but I'll be at front and square down there at Warrnambool. A little bit of track work action and take my mind off it and be back in G-Town later in the week just to start to get the ankles strapped for the big one.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Noisen dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. Kerr's Hire.com.au.